Alrighty. So, Fred, thank you so much for agreeing to speak with me today about discussing COVID-19. I mean, it's really the topic that's just top of mind for everyone right now. And a lot of the conversations that I'm having with Sober Livings is that they're really trying to figure out how to continue moving forward, you know, best practices to do within their program, and also some hurdles that they may be experiencing, and just wanting some perspective from some of the leaders in the industry. So I'd love to ask you some questions, get your thoughts and feedback, and anything else that you want to share as well. Absolutely feel free to speak to that so that we can provide any type of help that we can to the sober living community.
Sure. I mean, that's, you know, not a problem at all. I will be as transparent as I can be.
I appreciate that. So the first question that I'd love to ask you is, how do you recommend people to deal with COVID-19?
The recommendation is to definitely listen to the professionals on the news, see exactly daily what they are recommending, okay, and how you can transform that. Because, you know, just a regular household is different than a recovery residence.
Right.
I mean, because you have individuals on, you know, in their recovery, you have individuals struggling with, you know, other issues. And then it's corona just manifesting itself that, you know, makes them feel even more vulnerable than they already are.
Right.
And you compound that with the fact that, you know, America is virtually closed down right now. And, you know, you have individuals who are used to getting out, used to moving around, and now they're being isolated, you know, just isolated without being positive for corona. That they're being isolated anyway.
Right.
And that's tough. Okay. I mean, that's tough for those of us that have to stay in, and we're not in that kind of predicament.
So what, I mean, with that being said, you know, with this just being such a unique environment that honestly I don't think anyone could have ever predicted that we'd be in our lifetime.
Correct.
What kind of resources do you recommend these programs to provide for their residents to help them?
Well, if they are still allowed to attend their outpatient treatment, you know, make sure that they're able to get there. Make sure, you know, that they have, and I would ask one of the houses, you know, to do a letter, you know, to say that, you know, this individual is a essential program, and so they can move around. Because remember, they was told that they needed to stay in, and in order to be able to go to treatment, and all for those who need to get their MAT dose, they have to go out. And, you know, a lot of them was a little bit reluctant because of hearing the order of you shouldn't be out in the street. Okay. However, when it was said that you're in recovery and you're going to your program, and you actually, you know, are an essential individual to be able to move around. And I think for a lot of them, that made them feel a little better. Okay, but it's still a struggle. Okay, it's still a struggle with them meeting their needs around their recovery. And I think, you know, that's where we're all struggling. Me, as the affiliate, you know, of the houses, you know, it's only so much it really I can do,
right,
to be encouraging, you know, to help them where I can, and, you know, to make sure, you know, directing them to the resources that are coming out, you know, about the paycheck protection program,
right,
and the other things that a small business, you know, can attain to. But again, that's not immediate, okay? And so in the next 30 days, they're going to need something
to
help them out.
You had mentioned on the NAR call this morning, for Pennsylvania, you're sending out polls to your members. Is that correct?
Sending out But no, what I am doing is taking the calls from the members on a case-by-case basis to see, you know, what they are having problems. You know, is it rent? Is it utilities? Is it food? Okay, and looking at that on a case-by-case basis. I mean, we don't have the financial infrastructure to be able to help everybody.
Right.
But if we can, you know, send one 200 or send one 300, if possible, we will do that, you know, at least to get them through them. You know, but that won't even touch, you know, what they have to pay. You know, I have one form I just got in from one of the members. You know, she's requesting $4,000.
Wow.
Okay, and that's to pay rent, that's to pay utilities, to get other supplies. Yeah. Soap, deodorant, toothpaste, toilet paper, paper towel. Okay. Now, can I help with a little bit of that? Yes. But 4,000, no. And that's just one house. Okay. And I can imagine, you know, Par has over 200 houses certified throughout the state. You know, and they're all going to hit some type of struggle. If they haven't already, they will. They will.
Yeah. And it's definitely, as you mentioned, even though it would be some time before that they'll actually receive the financial aid in hand, but going ahead and applying for the Paycheck Protection Program.
At least they can get their mortgage taken care of,
right.
you know, some type of that, especially if they are paying their house managers, then they can get some protection.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
But then, also on the call today, we heard about the stimulus checks that have not been mailed yet, okay? Now, most of the individuals that we're talking about that's in recovery residences may or may not get a stimulus check, may or may not file taxes in 2018, okay? And if they did, I would probably say most of them wasn't direct deposit, okay? Which means, based on the information yesterday, if you direct deposit, you may get your stimulus money much sooner than the individuals that have to send out a check. They say their checks, but it may not go out until September. So even that is going to be another knock on, you know, trying to, you know, get them some help. Okay, because most people in recovery don't have a bank account, okay, or a address. In 2018 and 2020, it ain't the same address.
Right.
Okay, so even when it's mailed, you know, where is it going to go? So it's, you know, and that's what I'm looking at, you know, okay, this thing is going to continue, you know, way past when the all clear is given. The all clear is just going to be all clear for us to be able to get out, move around, you know, restaurants open back up, and go out. But for the people in recovery, it's just going to take a little longer before they can get back to normal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so, I mean, with that being said, how do you think this virus will affect the sober living community?
Well, I can just speak for here. I mean, we haven't had, you know, many positives, okay? You know, one house that was skeptical of maybe one of the male members maybe being positive, you know, they took what has been given to them. They isolated the individual, put them in a room, okay, you know, away from the rest of the residents, okay. Hopefully, you know, in your residence, you should have, you know, two bathrooms, because then that one bathroom now would be isolated totally off, you know, for that individual, okay, to be able to use, you know. So they're hearing everything, and I think they're operating, you know, in a vacuum of, we're going to do what we have to do. Which they always have. The recovery residents operating are some resilient people.
Right. I totally agree with you.
Okay. I must say, you know, because it's tough. It's, and I have to say this, you know, the community sometimes see a recovery residence and they see 10, 12, 14, 15 women going in and out. And they just think that they're making all this amount of money. But if seven of them are not working, they're not making any income from them, because know, they're just housing them. So it's always been a myth about if the recovery operator is operating correctly, then hopefully he's breaking even.
I think if anything, a big takeaway is this is a time where people really need to come together, communicate, collaborate, provide help to the best of your ability, and, you know, take it by the day at this point.
And resources. There's not enough, resources out there to cover everything that we're just talking about our end. We're talking about the mental health end, but that's a whole different scenario.
Right.
So, and all we can do is try to help our section of people that needs help. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what NAR is trying to do. And hopefully we will be successful at a certain level.
Yeah. Well, Fred, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. I mean, as we were just talking about, knowledge is power at this point, and the more that we can come together and communicate, collaborate, provide help where it's needed, I feel, as you said, we're resilient. We'll get through this. And NAR is providing updates as soon as they get information to their resources guide for COVID-19. And everyone can find that on naronline.org.
Yeah,
it was just updated on April 2nd, so...
And also the affiliates on their own particular website also have that update from NAR on there. Like naronline.org, the people in Pennsylvania can go there and see that all the information that has been coming out from Washington and the CDC, it's all there.
Perfect.
Thank you
so much. I will provide the link so that people can easily access it to access information. And stay safe and healthy. And
you too.
Yeah, take care. Thank you for your time.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, Fred.
Bye. Okay.